Thank you. All lines are now bridged.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone, and welcome to the ISP Task Force. We have a full agenda today, so we're going to go started, starting with a roll call. Ken Kawamoto?
Here.
Stephen Lane?
Here.
Andy Tressa? Not yet. Anil Jain?
Here.
Arian Malik?
I'm here.
Clint McDonald?
Here.
Cynthia Fisher?
I'm calling on behalf of Cynthia Fisher. She's on a plane right now. This is Kara Grasso.
David McCallie?
Here.
Edward Jung?
Here.
Les Leonard? Yes. Jack Poe? Rosh Ratani? Ram Saram?
Yes, I'm here.
Ricky Bloomfield?
Good morning, I'm here.
Good morning. Sasha Tepa?
Good morning.
Scott Weingarten?
Here.
Cheryl Turney?
Here.
Tamer Fakali? Okay. Terry O'Malley?
Here.
Tina Esposito? I believe she's going to be absent today. Valerie Gray? And Victor Lee. Okay, we'll circle back to the attendance later in the call. At this point, I will turn it over to Ken and Stephen.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us again this morning. It's great to have everybody. We did want to welcome one additional member to the task force. Cheryl Turney from Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield is a member of the HITAC and was out of town when we were first getting started, subsequently made it back and expressed a strong desire to join us. Cheryl is the Senior Director of All Payer Claims Database Analytics and Data Policy and Administration at Anthem. And welcome, Cheryl.
Thank you very much.
Ken, do you want to take us through the charge here?
Sounds good. So as we've reviewed before, what we're tasked with doing is making recommendations on priority uses of health IT and the associated standards and implementation specifications. One note there is that last time we met, we focused a little bit more on what I'd consider maybe the standards and needs there, maybe before we went to the priority uses of HIT. So one thing we'd like to do today is to start thinking in terms of priority uses again. And we have some straw man that Stephen will go through that around that we'd like to discuss. And associated with that is just a recommendations in this area and to publish a report. Can we go to the next slide? Okay. Let's see. So again, we'd like to go into a discussion of priority uses. Maybe before we get into that aspect, though, I thought what we, Stephen, I thought what we can do is recap what we discussed last week, maybe see if anybody had any other comments before we go into the priority uses discussion. Perhaps we can do that. Let's see. Can we go to the next slide as well and see?
Yeah, I think, Ken, you want to go ahead and share your screen and bring up the document we were working on together last time?
Yes. So I'm going to share my screen. Let's see.
And while Ken's doing that, again, our goal here, we know a number of people last time did not either weren't in attendance or didn't have a chance to comment or perhaps went home and did some more thinking. So we wanted to give people a chance to add any more to this discussion. We got a lot of this down very nicely. We did get an email response from Tamer Fakhouri, who's unable to join us, and I thought that I would just simply share that with the group as a kickoff. Tamer said that and recall that Tamer is from One Medical, where they have built their own homegrown EHR, and they're doing a lot of good work to integrate that with interoperability solutions. So he said, we would suggest prioritizing transitions of care use cases, including hospital admission and discharge and specialist referrals, as well as secure clinical messaging across health systems. To support these uses, we're interested in how standards could simplify the task of reconciling external data with the EHR and allow for automated handling of external data. Another area of interest is in privacy and information security. For example, the ability to understand the security posture of health system partners and other entities in the healthcare ecosystem so that we can be informed of potential risks related to data exchange. We are also interested in how standards could support providing patients' transparency into where their data has been sent and potentially allow them to set permissions around how their data could be shared. So we just wanted to share that with the group and capture that as best we could in Ken's document. Ken, how's that going with the sharing? I know it's a little tricky.
Let's see. Firefox was having trouble. I've joined again as Ken Kamoto, too. If you could promote that one to presenter, I think that should work better. You should see, perfect. Okay. Let's see.
So, if anyone has any additional comments that they want to share, if you want to just use the hand raising feature, and then we'll call you out.
Is there a document that has sort of the current best suggestions? So, I mean, I don't know what we're responding against.
Yeah, so Clem, thank you. We have posted the documents that we're going to be looking at today to the Google Share Drive. That URL was sent to you, to everyone. We can maybe, Farah, if you want to pop the URL into the chat so that people, again, have access to that, and we'll include it again with the notes. I saw a hand up, and then it went down again. So this is the document. There we go, Ed. It's back up again. So this is the document that we worked on last time. So since Ken is going to be real-time editing with any comments or responses, I'm going to be managing the hand raising. So Ed June, you want to go ahead?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Great. Just adding to what you had just spoken about, what Tamer had said, just adding to that, I think when we talk about transitions of care, I think it's important to look at where these transitions of care can occur. Hospital discharge is obviously a big one, given that it's associated with different HEDIS quality measures, but also the ER discharge and the SNF discharge as well, as also places of areas of focus. I also think that another area to look into that ties to transition of care is medical reconciliation. Especially this is where gaps are identified, gaps are closed, and various quality gaps in care can be addressed as well, such as missing vaccinations, beta blockers, aspirin.
Just a question, Ed. This is Stephen. When you say medical reconciliation, are you speaking specifically to medications and you included immunizations? Are you talking about reconciling other things like problems, allergies, you mentioned immunizations given in the inpatient setting, but obviously there are other lists, if you will, attached to a patient's electronic health record besides medications, which sometimes need to be reconciled or updated at the time of a hospital discharge. Were you including that?
Yes. I think the broad scope, inclusive of medication reconciliation and what you just mentioned.
So problems, procedures, those sorts of things.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Any other comments?
Clem, you have a hand up?
Yeah, I'm, you know, the whole thing, the name of all this is interoperability. And in the very beginning of all our meetings, we had a list of things that maybe should be interoperated. And I don't know where to put things like, we still don't have radiology reports or EKGs or any of these kind of base pieces of data that are used in clinical care, nor does there a group, is there a big header saying, I guess polypatient care might be the answer there where it would go. So where can we start to try to get done with the simple existing data shipping out to places it's needed, to the patient and to the hospital and to the clinician?
Yeah, I think you make a really good point, Clem, and part of that, I think, is a acknowledgement, once again, that the work of this group really links up with the work of the US CDI task force and the whole US CDI effort, which is really getting at what it is, as you say, that we are interoperating. What are the data elements, data types, et cetera, that we need to be able to share? So the good news is that we have, you know, Terry O'Malley, who's one of the co-chairs of the US CDI task force, here with us, and he actually had the next hand up. So maybe I'll turn it to Terry and ask you to respond.
Okay, Steve, thanks. Yeah, these are all great comments. I'd just add a couple other into the mix. If we're looking at, I guess one is, do we want to look at sort of functions, things that people have to do? And I think reconciliation is a great process, and it cuts across allergies, problems, medications. So I think it's one of those fundamental processes. And I don't know if we're going to be tasked with helping to build the underlying standards for that process. But that aside, there are a couple other processes that are essential building blocks that I think we might want to look at. One, again, is patient identification. You know, how do we know who we're dealing with? And then the permitted uses beyond what TEFCA says, but the permissions that the individual gives for the use of his or her data. So I would add those in. Thanks.
Thanks, Terry. David McCauley?
Yes. One of the things that struck me at the recent ONC Interoperability Task Force, forum that we had in Washington, some of us were at last week, was the number of times when we were discussing successes and failures in interoperability, that it struck me that that many of the failures were not so much about failures of the standard or the standard being missing, but rather failures of what I would call a business case or business processes that actually would support the use case. So there were quite a few cases, and medication reconciliation was one of them, where it struck me that the real issue was, in that case, for example, there's no one who really has a clear incentive and responsibility for performing the medication reconciliation. And it's not so much about standards as it is about a business process. So I think that as we go through these, maybe one thing we should think about in addition to the interoperability standards needed is what are the preconditions for there to be a business case in the first place for it to happen. Now, maybe that doesn't make sense, but it struck me last week that there are quite a few of the hot button issues that are really not about standards, but are about business cases.
I think that's a really good point, David, and thank you for sharing that. And I think it speaks to the opportunities that we have in writing our report back to the HITAC and to ONC. I think we want to highlight those kinds of issues because, of course, you know, while we can't create a business driver, CMS can, you know, ONC potentially can. There are other levers within the federal process as well as within the business community that potentially could be pulled. And I think it is really important to call that out. Arian.
Hey, thank you. So first of all, I want to double down on David's comment. This has been, I think, the perennial lesson of healthcare interoperability, that in many cases standards are dressed up with no place to go or with limited place to go. One of the other big lessons, and I want to double down on Clem's comment, and actually was surprised that David didn't double down on Clem's comment, is that independent of the US CDI, I think we've underestimated as a nation the clinical and clinician need to receive simple text-based narratives that are clinical and summarized in nature in transitions of care and in other data exchange. We have tended in our work to give data that's oriented towards machines to handle directly to the clinician, and that's led to the infamous 45-page rendered CDA. So I do think we should prioritize making sure that clinicians receive simple human-curated clinical narrative as a core interoperability requirement.
Thank you, Arian. That's great.
I heartily endorse Arian's point. This is David.
Thanks, David. Clem, your hand is still up. Did you have another comment, or is that from before?
Well, I did. I put it down and brought it up again. So, and I don't. I think the point really isn't. I mean, a CDA, we all understand. It's. I'm not going to try to brag about it at all. But there's so much structured data sitting in computers that's clean and easy to read to send out, whether it's structured or text. Whether an X-ray report is typically just text, there's spirometries are typically structured, but they're what you see, what you've always seen, but they're not coming to us. And nobody's talked about it for 10 years much, except maybe I've hollered about it. We got to get that's the key first step of interoperability. What's sitting there begging to be sent? And we don't send it, or we don't in a structure. Well, we don't send it properly, so it gets to the other place.
Yeah. So then my comment is slightly different from Clem's, and I'm just raising the saliency, the clinical saliency, and also interoperability, usability, and clinician satisfaction saliency of receiving simple human curated text, particularly on transitions of care.
Yeah, I'm for that too. But I want to get into one other thing about the medication reconciliation. We talk about it in sort of an abstract sense, but it's reconciling with what? It's ideally you'd have some really good set of things to compare with, and it'd be very easy to get it done. And there are opportunities in medicine. There's these large databases. Surescripts has one. I don't know. There may be other ones. If those were provided to the office, that would be trivial to reconcile what's in their files and what the patient says. And the same would apply to maybe to immunizations because they're supposed to be all sent to public health. But no one's talking about delivering this sort of a master set in which to make the comparison.
Great, great comments. Thank you. Ricky Bloomfield.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to emphasize the point that Arian made around transmitting narrative data at transitions of care. And I think that the work that the Argonauts project is currently doing around clinical notes would likely help to satisfy that. But what it doesn't satisfy is the clinical workflow to encourage providers to create those narratives, because that can vary widely between health system and EHR vendor. And if the clinical workflow incentivizes the provider to send a composite structured machine-readable document rather than the narrative, then that doesn't solve the root problem there. And so we just need to think about how we make sure we incentivize the provider to actually create manually a concise summary that is useful. Because I've been on both sides of that, and it can be frustrating.
Yeah, it's a really, really good point, Ricky. David McCauley?
Yeah, just to agree with Ricky's point, and just to, I had sent you guys an email, I think, after our last meeting, and I'm not seeing it in here, but he was referring to a joint recommendation from a group that Argonaut hosted with Commonwealth and Care Quality members that were proposing some new templates, or I guess some implementation guides around existing CDA templates that would address those narrative gaps. And I just want to say that work has been done, and now the question is getting a priority on adoption of it from the vendor community, which I think kind of occurs best when everybody feels like they need to do it rather than one at a time. So there's work that we could quickly prioritize that already, the hard work's already been done, I think that Ricky was referring to. It doesn't solve the broader problem of whether the text exists in the first place, but if it does exist, we can do a much better job of sharing it with a modest amount of work using existing structures.
Yeah, if I can chime in, this is Stephen Lane. Just to be clear, I think the Argonaut work around sharing clinical notes and the care quality work with being done with Commonwell on the same topic, while I think closely related and both supported by some of the same people, are actually two separate work streams. But I couldn't agree more that I think they're, you know, one is about sending notes via FHIR, the other is about sending notes via CCDA. But I think you're absolutely right. We need to do that. And Ricky, your point is well taken that you can only send a note that's actually been created. And if all people are doing is checking boxes and filling out flow sheets, that doesn't create sort of that patient story that I think we're all, you know, so attuned to. The other thing, though, that I think that Arian was pointing out was a little different, which is the notion of kind of ad hoc clinical messaging to support care coordination between providers. I mean, oftentimes if I'm a PCP and someone else is a specialist, you know, we'll share our notes with each other, but there's sometimes just a need to send a little message and say, hey, I saw, you know, Mrs. Wong, and you need to watch out for X, Y, and Z. And it may not go in the clinical note, but still warrant exchange, you know, using Direct or other tools that I know Arian is quite familiar with. So just wanted to separate out those two.
Yep. Thank you. And if only we'd worked on a standard to address that problem.
Take your tongue out of your cheek, Arian.
So this is David. I'll pile on that also, because the other thing that came out of the meeting last week was the hashtag kill the fax or eliminate the fax. I can't remember what the exact hashtag was, but I believe Seema Verma made that a major commitment for, you know, by 2020 that we'd eliminate the fax. So to do that, some of this work that we're discussing here has to be, you know, well understood, right? So how do you eliminate the fax by using Direct? Well, you've got to have a clearer understanding of how these things integrate into workflow and what you can do with an inbound or an outbound message. Some of that is just vendor-specific work to be done, but I think if you put expectations that your vendor needs to be able to do this, that's going to be part of making it work instead of just having technology that nobody uses.
I wanted to ask a question, because one other methodology, which I know is used especially in the hospital setting, but I think also in the ambulatory and potentially home care world, is the notion of secure text messaging. And no one has mentioned that. I mean, we talk about sharing notes, we talk about sharing, you know, messages in the sense of secure medical email. But is anybody on the task force particularly excited about the need for standards around secure real-time text messaging?
I will point out that in the Direct project, one of the early implementations was using an open messaging protocol and looking at securing it as a universal transport method. And we thought at the time that it was too early, but it's pretty clearly a salient need. You know, my mantra is that things that are getting done ad hoc in practice are probably good opportunities for standardization. I'd also note from a HIPAA perspective, ideally that stuff should be part of the patient, is part of the designated record set, and should be available ultimately for access. So there's, you know, maybe some concern if people are texting back and forth relative to clinical care, and that stuff is not actually landing in the chart.
I would say that secure text messaging, along with actually multimedia that is frequently included in the text messaging, is something that's very important. Speaking to the fax point that was just mentioned, with sort of the new incentives for telemedicine, I would say that it would be useful for us to get ahead of that and start to make sure that a lot of these silos don't start getting created in telemedicine.
And I'm sorry, who was speaking?
Sorry, this is Jack.
Jack, I'm glad you made it.
Thanks.
Great. All right. So I see, David, your hand is up again.
Just a comment on the text messaging. I totally endorse that that's an issue, and it's really proprietary silos today, and it's frustrating. So I don't know if there's a will in the industry to bridge across those silos, but We've got them, and I think that's something we should at least discuss, how to bridge the secure texting networks.
Yeah, I had a similar thought in that the secure texting, the predominant use case is intra-health system, rather than inter health system. And while there certainly is a need inter health system, the workflows aren't yet as robust to handle that scenario. So I'm afraid if we, you know, really went down that path to solve the problem, it would be a all dressed up with nowhere to go type scenario, where I think that the business process first needs to be aligned. I agree there's a need there, but I'm worried that we're not quite ready for that. And I don't know the exact steps that we should take to get there, but it's an incredibly complicated issue.
Thank you.
Well, it comes up.
Hey, guys, let's keep working with the hand raising, okay, as best we can. Sorry, David, I didn't mean to step on your toes there. Why don't you go ahead?
I wasn't following the rules. I apologize, but one sentence reply, which is it does come up with interfaces between vendors' proprietary text messaging and a third-party proprietary text messaging that might be in use in the hospitals the vendor's in. So we wrestle with this problem a lot because we give two choices for text messaging, and they're not bridgeable at the moment. So within a single facility, the issue is real, comes up.
Yeah, it's a good point. In addition to welcoming Jack Poe, I think we got Rajwat Ratwani joining us. Is there anybody else who had joined after we did the roll call?
I think
Stephen, this is Lauren. I believe Les Leonard joined as well.
Great. Welcome, Les. All right. The hands are down, which I think is perfect timing as we come to the half hour, because what we wanted to do was pivot a little here from this kind of open-ended collection of input to start to try to focus ourselves on some specific uses, sort of based on all of the comments that we've received. And I don't know, Ken, can you give up the screen sharing and I'll try to grab it?
Yep. Okay, it's available.
I see it now. Okay. This is a little tricky.
And Stephen, this is Terry O'Malley, just a comment while you're swapping.
Yeah.
And that is, do we want to, what sort of process are we thinking about for establishing prioritization and priorities, and whether sort of in parallel to the USCDI, we want to think of a process for interoperability standards, priorities that helps us identify sort of emerging priorities and get a process in place for addressing them, closing the gaps. Rather than my sense of what we're doing is kind of a very smart committee thinking really hard about what the priorities are now, but we may want to think about a process that allows us to identify emerging priorities.
Good point.
Clem has his hands up. Clem?
Yeah, well, you opened up the door with the UCDI. I never had the impression we solved what data should be shipped in UCDI, and I thought this was going to be dealing with it, and I'm still coming back to we've got a very meager flow in real healthcare right now to the clinician's office.
Maybe, Clem, so, if I could comment on that. I think one approach to do this is where we're pivoting to, where we're talking about what are the, you know, priority uses. And I specifically am passionate about the notion of disease management and health maintenance and, you know, provision of evidence-based medicine for the most common conditions that afflict us. And I think if we focus sort of clinically, it becomes obvious, oh, well, if we want to care for hypertension, we're missing this data. We want to care for diabetes, we're missing this data. That makes sense? You know, cardiovascular disease, we need an EKG. Where's the EKG or the echo results?
That's one way to do it, but there's also, you know, there's this stuff sitting electronic for 20 years in someone else's computer and we're not getting it. Radiology reports are the big one I rage about all the time. I mean, why be selective when it's all going to come from the same site and it's getting them to send it is the issue, not getting the clinical systems to receive it.
So let's go ahead and pivot a little bit. I've brought up another document called Priority Uses of HIT. Can everybody see that?
it's kind of small on my screen. Is there a way to make
yep.
it bigger?
Can make it, yeah, please.
So I don't know if I have any control over that.
Pretty much invisible.
Okay, well, let me try a different approach. Let me try sharing it as a...
Well, you could zoom it on your screen.
You could zoom it on your screen. Yeah.
Yeah, zoom it on your desktop, and I think it'll pick that up.
Let me share it as the Word document instead and see if that works better. How's that?
It's still similar. If you can zoom it, I think it would help.
Yeah,
do the, you can see it on the bottom, in the lower right.
On the right.
Yeah.
Yeah, lower right. Yeah. Sweep it. There you go.
Yeah. Is that any better? Okay.
Yeah,
very excellent. Good. Great. Okay. So this is a document that we put together as a little bit of a digestion of the discussions that we've been having, and we wanted to kind of walk through it. This is also on the site. For purposes of display, I'm not sharing the document on the site in real time, but I'll update that one with any changes that we make here. But what we thought we would try to do in terms of the tactics that we would use to tackle this work would be to try to identify a small number of uses or domains of uses to focus on in depth and potentially break the task force into a small number of working groups that would be able to deep dive. And we've been talking with the team at the ONC to see whether they would be able to support that logistically. I think it's still a little bit of an open question, but we wanted to discuss this as an approach with all of you and see if this makes sense. What we were thinking was that it would be worthwhile, and we discussed this a bit earlier, that we want to take full advantage of all of your time and experience and intelligence and to try to make the work of this task force really meaningful for the country. So we wanted to propose, and these are all open to discussion, that we would focus on uses that are new or emerging, you know, that haven't had a lot of focus in the past, where the technology or the workflows or whatnot haven't been there, you know, rather than necessarily trying to rehash work that's been done, though I think, as Clem points out, there's work that perhaps could have been done that hasn't been done thoroughly. But again, it's kind of an initial thought that we would focus on new areas, new uses, and those that haven't received adequate attention. Also, since we're all about standards and prioritizing standards and then supporting the development and evolution of standards, we think it might be useful to look at uses that lack either established or well-adopted standards, and I think we had some comments in that area that standards may exist, but we don't have the workflows, we don't have the business cases, et cetera. We want to look potentially at uses that would benefit from the engagement and input of new stakeholders. Again, we have some relatively new stakeholders or sort of old stakeholders representing new domains on this task force, and I think there's a great opportunity for us to think about stakeholder groups that have not been well represented in the standards development process. And again, look for opportunities that will have a real impact, you know, on our industry and on society. So maybe I'll just pause there and see if there are any specific comments about those as kind of priorities to shape our focus.
David?
I like this. My only concern is that we not be distracted by the shiny new thing and never finish the boring old thing. So in a discussion that have come up today already, we've had a bunch of things that are kind of completing or finishing or fine-tuning existing stuff. And I would hate to see us ignore that. So maybe it just goes into a category that we could call, you know, work underway that we endorse to be finished or something, while we talk about new things. Does that make sense? Just don't imply that we think the old things are finished necessarily if they're not, even if we go focus on something new.
Next is our Clem.
Am I up? Yeah. Well, I'm going to reinforce and reassert. I thought sort of one of the end goals of this to see what would be regulated or at least encouraged by federal agencies. And as I mentioned maybe 100 times, there's no assertion about anything about radiology results except a little bit in the CDA, which has its own problems. And why couldn't they just send them back to the clinicians or the place? Even hospitals go to outside places with radiology reports. Even lab is not done yet. I mean, you don't get labs coming in a standard way for most places still. And these are relatively easier than trying to construct new kind of processes and get physicians to do more stuff. So I don't know, I'm just going to harp on this, and I have to apologize. But I think
that's okay, Clem. We hear you.
All right.
Maybe one way to capture that would be to say, you know, biggest bang for our buck, or, you know, achievable yet impactful, right, is, I think, the notion. Terry's next.
Yeah, thanks. And let me reinforce Clem's point. And the original US CDI list that we all looked at and said they're missing all sorts of really important things from emerging groups. But, you know, we might want to focus on the work that needs to be done and make sure that's a priority. So Clem, you know, everything Clem's been advocating for throughout US CDI, I think, makes a lot of sense. And perhaps it's in parallel, you know, so let's clean up the old stuff. But the process that you've outlined here to sort of look at the new stuff, I think, makes a lot of sense. But I would do it. I'd do both of those. Just because we've got so much, there's so much value that hasn't been tapped yet, that we just really need to get the data out and moving. So, Clem, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. So let me go on with sort of our proposed tactics here. So again, we want to identify what would be our high priority domains or uses that we want to focus on. We want to select a small number. This is my proposal. We would want to select a small number of these to really drill down on. So we're not sort of trying to cover the waterfront, but we're actually trying to add value in some specific priority domains. And one way to do that would be to break into working groups. We have a 22-member task force. If we put 4 to 5 people on a working group, you know, that would give us 4 to 5 groups. If we made them a little bit bigger, we could maybe narrow it down to a smaller number. But the idea of, you know, this is a large group. We've got a lot of great ideas, and some people are more vocal than others. But we really want to leverage all of your input and expertise. So this is a proposal that's on the table to break into working groups that would work in parallel and do deeper dives. We'd want to think about what each group would be responsible for, and it might be a little bit different based on the domain that they're looking at. And then what we're proposing, and again, we're waiting to hear from ONC whether they'll be able to support this, would be having these working groups meet kind of in parallel at the same time as these meetings are already scheduled, but basically break us apart into, you know, maybe it's going to end up being 3 or 4 different groups, each with an ONC staff. This is tricky because those groups would be large enough that they would need to be, you know, in the public, so they would need a lot of administrative support. So again, we're still finding out whether we could get that. And then those groups could take deeper dives. They could invite subject matter experts. They could really look into areas of interest. And then each of them would have somebody kind of helping to lead and organize the group. I think Ken and I would each offer to take one, and we'd probably want to identify a couple of other task force members to kind of organize those groups. And then we would intermittently have and full task force meetings where the groups could kind of report back, this is what we're thinking, this is where we're going, and we can all kind of check and balance along the way. So I'll pause there and just get people's feedback about this idea of trying to narrow ourselves down to some high priority areas and then breaking into smaller groups to focus on them.
No hands up yet.
All right. Well, we'll take silence as agreement, unless we're misguided in that.
Oh, Les has a hand up.
This is David. I'm
I stepped away from the computer, so I can't raise my hand.
Okay, Dave, and then
I think I've been on task force that did this kind of thing in the past, and I don't think there's a requirement that the subgroups be public meetings, as I recall. They have to report out, obviously, in our public overall group, but it might be possible to simplify the burden on ONC if they're not actually required to every meeting be public. But I may be misremembering, but I think we've had task forces that were that did their work offline and then reported out in public.
Yeah, our understanding, David, in discussions with Steve Posnack and Lauren and others is that it has to do with kind of the size of the group and what it is that they're up to. And if they get, you know, a couple of people can meet on the phone, maybe even three, and have a, quote, offline discussion. But what we've been told is if it gets larger than that and significant deliberation is going on, that would require them to be public. But I think, again, they're thinking that through with us presently. I don't know, Lauren or others, Farah, if you want to comment.
Sure, this is Lauren. I would agree. I would also just remind that if we are bringing in outside SMEs or experts in a panel-style hearing, that would also warrant having that in the public forum so that others can see what the experts are bringing to the group. And then just as an additional side thought, we can also think about perhaps staggering the groups or identifying if one should start now versus later, or perhaps maybe kind of start one now and see how that goes and revisit a little later on since we do have a little bit of time. But generally, that's the course that we prefer to take.
That makes sense. My memory was of much smaller groups. So that's what I was remembering, just two and three people doing it. So, yeah, big groups, you need to be public.
Go ahead,
Les.
David. Okay, Les.
No.
Yeah, my comment was that the logistics of this are pretty difficult, and ensuring that the groups don't overlap and don't come up with contradictory proposals is a substantial effort in addition to just making sure that these meetings were public. So I'm perhaps somewhat, I think it would make a lot of quick progress that would then need to be integrated tightly to move forward.
Okay, that's all really helpful, and we will consider this feedback as we put together our strategy.
David has a follow-on comment. Sorry, David.
Yeah, just I think Les raises a really interesting point, and we've got a long enough runway for the overall group. I think we're booked out for almost a year. Maybe we just sequence the focus areas and say for the next three meetings we'll deal with this specific set of topics so that we can all participate to the degree that we're able and want to. And maybe we have enough meeting time is what I'm getting at.
Good point. Good point. All right. So whether we end up running these in parallel or in sequence remains an open question. But my thought was that as we focused in on these domains, that we would want to identify the existing standards and implementation specs as we've been asked to do that would be needed to support the specific use cases or workflows, as well as any standards that may be lacking or incompletely implemented, which I think is what we were talking about earlier, including, to Clem's point, specific data elements that would be required in the US CDI to support the exchange of information needed to meet the priorities. So I think this is where, you know, that rubber starts to meet the road, and where, again, I think it's important to acknowledge that this work runs in parallel with and supports the work of US CDI. And then the thought was that that the smaller groups or perhaps, you know, our segments would, you know, that we would bring it back together, I think, to Les's point, wanting to avoid any conflicts or inappropriate overlaps that came up. So thoughts on that, those ideas?
Well, I got my hand up, but you didn't give me permission yet.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, the USDA never did. I mean, they were developing rules for picking. They never did pick that committee. So we're still stuck with lots of available data that's ripe for transmission. That's not the rules don't push it hard enough to get it transmitted.
I think, though, Clem, what we're saying is through this work, why don't we use that, you know, leverage that process and push for imaging reports and labs that aren't being exchanged, et cetera, right? I mean,
that's what I've been. That's what I'm begging for. Yeah.
I think we're answering it.
Yeah. Okay. So with that, any other comments? Great. So with that, I'd like to propose, if you will, a slate. It's sort of a long one of priority use. I'm calling them domains for us to consider and. And then we can sort of talk about these a little bit, but I just want to throw these out there. These were based on discussions that Ken and I had and the feedback that we've received from you. And we'll see if we're kind of lumping and splitting these appropriately as areas for our focus. And we put out six of these. Below this, there's a long list of other uses that we've discussed and some that we haven't focused in too much on, and we can flesh this list out based on the feedback today. But we felt that we could lump some of these together for focus, and I want to just kind of, I'm going to go through the bunch of them and then open it up for discussion if that's okay. So the first one, which again wasn't so much a use as it was kind of a data domain, which is the social determinants of health. I know we've all talked about them a lot. It would certainly be possible to focus on individual social determinants or the data class as a whole. I think there have been requests, and some of these notes really came out of the discussions last week in D.C., so people who were there will recognize some of these ideas. But the question of whether to provide a general structure and a place for social determinants data in health IT systems, or to drill down more deeply, focusing on the value. I think, Clem, this is a point that you've made very nicely. What is the value of additional data collection? Who has to bear the burden of that data collection? And then what is, you know, who derives the value from having the data and making it interoperable? Looking at evidence about how this data can be put to use, again, and the value to patients and society. And as we thought about this, obviously social history is something that clinicians collect routinely in different ways. Different systems support different ways of collecting that. I don't think there's a lot of standards around them. And certainly social history today often involves substance use, other kinds of sexual history, but of course nutrition, housing is becoming much more prevalent as important data elements. And then the whole issue of how to integrate social services, how to know about social service availability, eligibility, usage, how to make referrals back and forth to social services. All of these potentially could fall into this domain that I've just labeled social determinants of health. And I'm just going to go ahead and go through these, knowing that there's going to be a lot of comments. Another one that Ken just mentioned, evidence-based medicine for common chronic conditions. Ken suggested looking at the top 10, but obviously diabetes, heart failure, COPD, chronic kidney disease would be in there. Looking at standards for data collection, the workflows associated with this, and how to interoperate. Really looking at assuring that we bring decision support. This is one thing that I left out here. To support best practices, and then looking at what is the highest value data to be able to share and interoperate. And again, this goes back to Clem's comment. You know, we've got lab values. We've got other kinds of data that could be particularly valuable to support evidence-based medicine and looking at the value of making key data items interoperable. The next general domain that we sort of lumped together was around medications and pharmacy data. I think I've mentioned here the challenge, I certainly mentioned it in DC last week, the challenge of medication reconciliation and the value of having discrete SIGs in order to be able to put machines to work on deduplication and reconciliation. There's obviously challenges around fulfillment data, adherence data. I don't think there are any standards around that. And obviously, opioids are a key use case or a key area within medications that's getting a lot of focus. And I think Ken made the really good point that it would not be a bad idea if we put some of our energy into work that would help support the development and promulgation of solutions to help with the opioid crisis. Of course, having national standards for interacting with PDMPs would be valuable and something that is clearly lacking. Shared pain management care plans would apply not only to opiates but to other medication classes as well. And then there's a lot of work going on with opioids around shared decision making. So those are all things that potentially, you know, could fall into a medication pharmacy focus. I think really with MedRec being a key piece of that. Closed loop referrals was another focus last week, and I think really it while it was very exciting to see the progress that's being made with the 360X work, including a number of the vendors who are on the call here, there's clearly a lot of opportunity. And I think we heard some comments earlier this morning and from Tomer, transitions of care, referrals is clearly a part of that. You know, there are big open questions about what data is needed to send to consultants. We've talked in other venues about getting specialty societies involved in that. But again, a real opportunity for standardization. Standards related to communications, again, overlaps with what we were discussing earlier, but there are really no standards for provisioning or maintaining direct addresses, whether it's at the provider, department, location, or organization level. And message context is something that, while there are standards out there, they haven't been well implemented, and I think that those are going to be very important to support efficient workflows for messaging. So again, a potential domain for focus. Orders and results, another big area. Ken has pointed out the challenge of not having standardized orderables across EHRs and health IT systems. Was mentioned earlier by Clem, the discrete lab data exchange, whether we could identify high priority labs and result components, whether we could get all systems that are generating and utilizing lab results to consistently apply LOINC mapping. That would be a huge step forward for our ability to share lab results efficiently. And then, of course, here again, there's a big gaping area around genomics data. What are the standards there? A lot of work has been done, but I don't think they're well established. And then I think there's a very specific use case around orders and results going between systems. Today, we build innumerable point-to-point interfaces to support orders and results. Presumably, we could develop standards that would allow those to flow much more efficiently. And then the last area that I think a number of you commented on, I think David in particular at our last meeting, was around what was referred to as cost transparency. But I think we lack standards for claims data, how to move that between entities, how to integrate that data into EHR systems and put it to work to support decision support, quality reporting, optimization, et cetera. Within this bucket could fall the whole issue of transparency of cost related to tests, medications, patient copay responsibilities, and then the area of prior authorization. So we did a lot of lumping here, putting together these six potential domains, and wanted to sort of throw out the idea that perhaps we as a group, you know, we can massage these, we can throw some things in or take some things out, but the idea of asking us to vote each individually to identify or to prioritize these areas, or if we want to bring some of these others up, patient matching came up, you know, a number of other areas are down here that we've discussed, but trying to get ourselves to a point where we have a prioritized list, whether we're going to work on some of these in parallel or work on them all together as a task force. So I will I'll stop talking and let Ken run the discussion and ask for feedback on this list.
Anil has his hand up.
Yeah, thank you, guys. This is a very interesting list of six. I just would like to offer two additional ones, and maybe they're in the other pile. You went through it very quickly. I didn't see it. But as a complement to evidence-based medicine, I think the priority for interoperability and the true, I think, potential promise for having all this data would be to complement evidence-based medicine with personalized medicine. I saw genomics on there. I saw social determinants of health. But how do we actually fold it in into a broad-based way of thinking about interoperability as a focus for accelerating personalized medicine as a complement to evidence-based medicine? The second one I didn't see on there. I saw the optimization of orders and sort of closed-loop referrals. But I think the pain point that I hear about when I go around is the challenge with prior authorization. And if we start to think about how some of these capabilities actually create business cases, prior authorization that could help providers, help hospitals, help the payers, and collect the evidence we need in order to really make sure that these therapies and treatments are actually making a difference could be an interesting priority for the group.
Great. David has his hand up next, and then after David, Clem.
Yes, David. It's a good list. I think that before we do too much voting and prioritization, we ought to surface anything we know about existing work in the area that may already be underway, with hopes that maybe we don't need to duplicate it. And in particular, I'm thinking of the cost transparency claims prior authorization space with what the Da Vinci group is doing. They're aggressively working on prior authorization. They're also working on medication reconciliation, although I'm not sure that their view is as broad as the one you have listed here. But it would be a shame to try to replicate or duplicate work that's already underway. We may want to endorse it and say it's important, but maybe divide and conquer a little bit. I'm guessing there may be other activities in some of these other spaces. I just don't know as well off the top of my head.
Well, and again, I think that would be, as we drill down on these, either as an entire task force or as smaller groups, that would be the way to start, would be to say what is going on, again, what standards exist today, you know, whether they have or have not been broadly implemented, et cetera.
Yeah, just to reinforce the last two comments, that so there are some things done. So there is a specification for ordering in HL7V2, which was not adopted by ONC on the last round. And I think there's activities in the HL7 attachment group and with X12 regarding some of the prior authorization stuff. So I reinforce what David said about let's try to collect some of these documents and share them, or the information that we do have.
I don't see any other hands up, but I'll make a comment. So as one additional comment, and I think it was item one or two around the evidence-based medicine for chronic conditions, and I'd lump in their health maintenance. I think the nice thing here is that it becomes very concrete and very immediately useful. So, for example, we may say we want to share information on, you know, this kind of domain, but, you know, for example, in our institution, we have like 4,000 labs. I think it's harder to say, well, let's make sure all labs are always mapped properly to LOINC than to say, well, across these important use cases, here's the 100 that we need to share, and let's focus on those. And I think the impact could be fairly large. So if you include things like, you know, lung cancer screening for people who meet U.S. Preventive Services Task Force criteria for lung cancer. We already have well-adopted Argonaut profiles for smoking, but doesn't include pack year history. And a lot of systems do collect that information. Even if we could just use that, you know, the estimate is maybe we can even save 10 to 15,000 lives a year. So I think relatively small things we can do for data that's already collected. If we just say, well, let's look at the, you know, actual diseases that we're dying from, we could actually, I think, have a pretty large impact and be very feasible. I see Clem has his hand up. Clem? Clem, you're muted.
I am. I support everything you said. In fact, I'd like to work on this task group if it be created as one. But what you're assuming is the labs won't use proper messaging, and I think we ought to encourage that they do, so you don't have to map. You know, that's the problem.
Yeah,
you don't get the good stuff from the labs.
Yes. Agreed. David?
I have a gap here that it's an infrastructural gap that maybe it just infiltrates all of these, but I wonder if it's worth calling out. And it's really to kind of push on Clem's point that there isn't a standard way to distribute documents and results, pub-sub kind of fashion. I think individual institutions will set up with their vendors custom ways to do that, probably to varying degrees of success. We also have, national query-based approaches that are gaining traction, and TEFCA would reinforce, but I don't know that there's an infrastructural approach to pub-sub so that you'd have some knowledge of this result should be distributed to these providers under these circumstances in a, kind of background reliable way. And maybe that's just a local problem, but it probably merits some discussion.
Next is Arian.
Yeah, so David and I did some work a while back looking at some of the underlying generals that are required. So as an example, we hypothesized that if you only made structured data available via a REST API with some security around it, that it would open up an ecosystem on the app and patient side. So it'd be interesting, maybe as a different way of slicing this, to look at how best we can use the primitives that are already in practice, Firebase APIs, consolidated CDA, the variety of IHE document exchange standards, and look at small changes to those that open up the surface area maximally. So it's a different, I want to almost say orthogonal way of looking at these problems. The risk in enumerating a bunch of specified use cases is that we then think we need to go have a standard or implementation for each of those use cases. With regard to document interchange, it would also be interesting to look at what's out there and in practice. So, for example, secure exchange, in the same way that there's secure exchange of ORU and ORM messaging, via sometimes proprietary transport channels, but fairly well standardized at the API side. There's the same thing for MDM formatted reports and a fair body of practice in sending MDM formatted reports via sometimes proprietary secure exchange. And then I guess the last point, and I know that we're looking at priority use cases, and maybe this is just a sign of my getting old and cynical, but to David's point, with regard to the priority for interoperability, finishing what we started is at least as important, if not far more important, as establishing new priority use cases. And maybe the final point with regard to priority use cases is that I think with regard to achieving ACO, there are specific point problems as well as infrastructure problems in assembling data that's required to compute clinical quality measures. Some of the specific point problems are lack of information fidelity for clinical measures that require, for example, risk assessments or other kind of structured interventions. And some of the infrastructure problems should be addressed by things like Flatfire and the authorization that's required and some of the work that DaVinci is doing and the like. I think we should, from an ONC priority perspective, we should make recommendations in areas that are important for national priorities but aren't universally and scalably getting done. That's it. Thank you.
Les?
Yeah, I think that you've got a few topics on here that I think everybody would want to come to the groups on. You know, it seems like we have so perhaps that's the first thing you've got to decide is which of these are so important that the whole committee has to debate these rather than, you know, doing them in a small group function.
That's a really good point, Les. And again, I think what we were hoping to do was first sort of settle on the slate that we would then ask people to vote on. And again, we're just proposing this as a tactic here. And I've heard generally positive comments, I think, about sort of the top six, the way we floated these to the top. I'm not quite sure where to put personalized medicine in here. I think it's certainly something that we're all aware of and sensitive to, is the need to focus on patient data, patient access to data, the leveraging data for the needs of the individual patient. So I don't think we're going to forget that. We do, you know, Clem, we highlighted image exchange here. I think it potentially plays a role in some of the other domains that we discussed. But what we wanted to propose was...
Just to clarify, though, that's not image exchange that I'm pushing for. It's the report of the diagnostic study.
Ah, yes. Okay.
Would be okay, too. But that's another
whole other world, right? No, I appreciate that.
Terry has his hand up.
Hi, thanks. Just a couple of comments. This list has sort of it's apples and oranges, as Clem would say. You know, I think we've got some, like the first, the social determinants. It's really sort of a vocabulary semantics issue because we haven't even got the vocabulary. And then some of them are more broad IT functions like document exchange and query, permitted use, unique identification. So I'm wondering whether we might want to break these into two groups. And one would be, so what are the underlying functions that have to be in place that would help with the exchange of all this information? And those are sort of the query, document exchange, ID, and what are areas where that are emerging where we don't even have the semantic standards in place, like social determinants, and perhaps evidence-based medicine.
I wonder if that's along the lines of let's not step on each other's toes kind of notion of if there's common functional elements that arise as we're talking about these, that those are identified and then they're worked on in a single thread, if that makes sense. I guess that there was another comment earlier about, like, you know, let's not get so use case driven that we create a standard for exchanging medication, you know, fill data for hypertension. That would be really silly. So maybe we're always looking for what's the broad, are there places where getting broader doesn't necessarily incur that much more cost and we should generalize what we're trying to achieve.
Also, Terry, I think, you know, our charge on the task force is to focus on priority uses of health data. And I think that as we do that, we will inevitably need to talk about both functions and the data needed. So in my mind, it makes sense to kind of focus in on a domain and then tease it apart and see what's needed there and then make recommendations based on that, as opposed to saying, you know, you guys go look at functions and you guys go look at the data that's needed and kind of artificially separating those. But that's just how I think.
No, I hear you. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think there's nothing more challenging than working on something without like a really concrete use case in mind, maybe just because, you know, I don't know, I just find that hard. I think it's always helpful when, even though your point is not just to solve this particular use case, that you are use case driven or priority use driven, because then it really grounds what you're talking about, right? And especially when you have to make trade-offs, it's much easier to say, is it worth it for us to try to achieve this given these costs, when it's less of a vacuum and it's more, you know, using this data and using these processes, this is what we would be able to achieve.
Here, here.
So I'm sensitive to the time, and I know we need to transition to bring in the public fairly soon. What I'd like to propose is that we'll figure out with our friends from the ONC how to create a simple ballot of these, and we'll just stick with these six, you know, and I think asking each member of the task force to rank order their top three, let's just say. And we'll figure out a way to collect that information between now and the next. Well, we can either do that between meetings, or we could wait and do it at the next meeting. Personally, I want to get moving on this. So I'd like to see if anyone objects to the idea of us sending out a ballot between meetings, asking you to vote, and then we will assemble a prioritized ranking of these that we can then discuss at the next meeting. And by then we should know from the ONC whether we can work on more than one of these at a time in parallel, or whether we should just work collectively as a broad task force and start in on the top priority. What do people think of that approach?
One relevant point I think we discussed was if it's a priority and we can like get done with one of them, we can move on to more, right? Like it's not like we have to spend a year working on it. Clem, you have a comment. Clem, you're muted. Clem, if you're talking, you're muted.
Sorry, I am. A given category, could we respond as to say some things we could drop off of because there's a mix match of things in some of these categories when we do our vote?
They're definitely lumped together, Clem. And I think, again, we were trying to kind of capture the domains of interest and see where this group is most interested in focusing our efforts initially. Once we get in, we can totally pull things in, toss things out. I mean, these are not meant to be set in stone. I'm a lumper. And these were meant to kind of lump things together into broad areas where I think we could do meaningful work. But it's only once we get into them that the specifics would be sorted out.
Okay, no other comments, hands raised.
Fabulous. So, Lauren or Farah, do you want to...
Yeah, I think this is a good point to go ahead and break for public comment. So just as a reminder, if you have a public comment, please keep that to 3 minutes. I'm just going to do another quick check. Do we have Andy Truscott on the line? Okay. Operator, can you please open the line for public comment?
Lines are open.
And do we have any comments in the queue at this time? I'm sorry, can you confirm if we have any comments in the queue at this time?
No comments at this time.
Okay, I will turn it over to Ken and Steve.
Stephen, should we spend the time then further discussing the potential priorities?
Sure, let's do that. So we collected a lot of comments and feedback. How do you want to approach that, Ken? What's your thought?
I guess one approach right now might be just to get any folks' thoughts on if we're missing any that need to make it into a list of potential ones to put in the, the vote. And I'd say sort of the vote with your feet kind of one, right? Like which are the ones you'd personally be willing to spend a lot of effort on to help move forward? Or otherwise just think it's really important. And then maybe any other comments on it? Because we only meet every 2 weeks, I think we should use the time that we have. Any thoughts, any that we're missing or that we should, any thoughts on these existing ones as priorities for you?
or any of these that people just think are really not a good idea or aren't ready for the kind of focus that we're contemplating?
No.
Yeah. Adds or deletions? Clem, I'm curious, when you said that there might be things we'd want to drop off, curious what you were thinking about there.
Okay, I was going to fuss about the structured SIG, because we actually did a big study with Surscripts at a local hospital, and there was no need for the SIG to do any kind of reconciliation. And what we found using Surscripts, we found 30% more drugs that people were on. But that's a separate issue. But I think that it's adding additional structure to any physician entry that's required, not optional, because I think you might want it sometime, is burden. It takes longer.
Yeah. Yeah. David has his hand up next.
I thought I had a comment, but I'm not sure. I mean, I think part of the problem in looking at the list is it is apples and oranges, and you know, you got a lump in rate, but it's not an easy way to separate some of these things. So I'll have to think about it some more. But I think the kind of point that Clem raised is the kind of thing that would come out if you did dive in and focus on it. So Clem, I would say, if there's something in that list that doesn't make sense, that's part of what the focus would identify. So continue to vote for it, but just say you're voting for it so you can downrate some of those things that don't make sense.
Yeah, and I won't take any of this personally. And again, these were ideas on the plane home from D.C. mostly.
I like the medication in general, but the problem with focusing on that is it's the stuff that works the best right now. We've got e-prescribing going. We got the standards are rigorous. The codes are in them. So I think there's additional things
gaps.
Going on. Yeah, I know, but there's a lot going on that we have. NCPDP is working on ways to get best pricing and all. There's a lot of stuff going on there. So I think it's a very important area in general, but I think it's not the one that's in most need of help. Mm-hmm. Except for maybe
no opioids. Hands are up. Yeah.
Well, what about opioids, Clem? Say more about that.
Well, it's clearly a problem, and there's activities underway about trying to make the ordering process for opioids, which is all, that's a very stringent process, work better across the Medicaid and Medicare, and that's actually some interest of ONC already. But I don't know any immediate solutions, it's a high priority, so we should probably grapple with it, see whether we can think of some great ideas.
David has his hand.
Yeah, just on the opioid thing, I just had a reason to review the CDC's work on that. They put another grant out to finish their work, and I hadn't really looked carefully. And they've done some very impressive, CQL encoding of good practice rules around opiate prescribing, and are planning to deliver that as a CDS hooks alert back to clinicians. And, it's deep and thoughtful work.
If I could just comment on that, I personally worked on that project, and we have operational CDS hooks implementations in our Epic install running enterprise-wide, and we do things like do natural language processing on free text SIGs because it's fairly prevalent in our institution for opioids, et cetera. I think there's a lot that can be done in that area.
I was impressed at the work. Yep. Nice job.
But should we make opioids the primary thing rather than more broad?
I guess that's a question. Should we open opioids as maybe just even a separate top level potential focus? Cheryl had her hands up. She put it down. Okay, David. You don't think so, okay?
I think lumping it in, you could. I just think there's so much activity in that space already. I don't know what we would bring to the table. I guess I'm skeptical. The PDMP problem isn't going to get solved by anything this committee does.
Could you comment on that a little bit further? Because that is a big problem, but can you comment on that?
Well, because my impression is that it's dominated by local rules, state laws, and the PDP industry has grown up around meeting the requirements of state laws. It's not something that can be top-down mandated without court challenges and all sorts of things. It just seems like an incredibly complicated space for business reasons, not for technical reasons.
I guess, is this group all purely technical, or is there some benefit in highlighting the fact that part of the reason why we struggle in the space is because every state sort of does their own thing and isn't working together to have a common way of doing things?
I think that's part of our charge, is to provide that kind of feedback back to ONC and then allow them to, forward that on to other branches of government that may need to work on this.
Well, all you have to do is read the Missouri newspapers and you'll have a full history of it. Maybe because I live right next door, I know about it. But, the state legislature won't even allow for screening because of the privacy concerns of one legislator who happens to be a physician. It's a political issue, not a technical one. But that's fine if we can raise that point. I don't think anybody's going to be surprised to hear that.
I guess for me, I had worked in the space for a while, on the CDC project, and I didn't even realize until recently, a lot of the challenges are because everyone's doing their own thing. It just seemed like maybe for folks who are working in the field, it's obvious. But it was that's the reason why we're struggling. It kind of shocked me. Let's see, David, you have your hands up?
No, I'm sorry. I'm okay. Done.
So I guess the question of should we potentially bring opioids up as a top level? I personally am okay either way. Any thoughts? David thought maybe not.
My feeling is that things that we would do for opioids would potentially also benefit other med use. Yeah. I mean, we talked about medication care plans, shared decision making. Some of these things are quite generic. I as critical as the opioid epidemic is presently, there's a lot of need to improve medication functionality and to support MedRec, which was discussed at the outset. So my personal preference would be to keep it together at least until we did a deeper dive. I think it would be premature to separate it at this point.
And I do think the fulfillment data is really important, just given that, I think it's pretty well known that most of us, I think it's 30% of medications never get filled, and for chronic medicines, 50% aren't taken, given that medications are such an important part of therapy. That's pretty important information to make available to providers, I think, because...
number I got on that was 10% from Walgreens, but just as a...
That aren't filled? Really?
Yeah. That is... Yeah, when they get the prescription and they pre-fill it and they have to dump it back into their system.
Interesting. Okay. Or maybe it's for the refill part.
Could be.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think, Ken, it probably makes sense for us to wind this up, maybe even a few seconds early, and we'll prep this again as a ballot, and hearing no objections, we will send that out to you and hopefully in the next couple of days. Hope to collect your input around priorities. Again, I think it makes as much sense as anything to ask people to prioritize their top three, unless people have a better idea. And that doesn't mean that we wouldn't get to other things later on, but we're really trying to, as Ken said, get people to vote with their feet. What are the things that you feel are both most important, that you're personally most interested in working on? And again, I'll just remind us where we started, looking for areas that are new and emerging, have not received adequate attention, lack for established or well-adopted standards, would benefit from input, have a big impact with the caveats that were shared earlier.
Great. So I guess we'll wrap up a few minutes early.
Yeah, I just want to, this is Lauren, I just want to check in with the ONC team, Caroline or Farah, or anyone from ONC, any other comments or thoughts before we adjourn? Okay. I think that's it. Oh, sorry, was that a comment? Okay. Okay, I think that's it, Stephen and Ken. That's all for today, correct?
Great. Thanks,
okay.
And I hope everyone enjoys their last remnants of summer. Thank you.
The meeting on the slide was not the same as the meeting on the calendar. Is there a discrepancy there?
28th? It's not.
Because the calendar meeting, the next one is on 8/31, which is a Friday.
Oh.
Right.
Oh.
I think that's what my calendar says as well. ONC, can you guys confirm?
Yes, I'm sorry. You're correct. It is August 31st. That was my.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thank you for that correction.
Okay. Well, thanks, everyone, for your time today.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll talk soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.